Carl Herman, Mission Viejo, Joe Olson, Houston, Texas, Chris Weiner on the phone, Parts Unknown, Need to Know News, 29th of July, 2024. Let's take a look at those topics, opening statements. All right. How strong is the mind control on sheeple? Shortly, I'll just wait on that. Discuss that as a topic. Two, Israel's Orwellian illegal ongoing war of aggression on Gaza within the U.S. rogue state empires. Unreliable reporting slash propaganda in World War III scare, the 2024 Paris Satanic Olympics, the Trump assassination attempt, Trump optics, Biden optics, Harris optics, COVID updates, and another wildfire, so-called, in Jasper, Canada. Joe, opening statement, brother.
Yeah, found out some interesting things on a website the other day. I had bought a brand new Tacoma with a 2.78 liter inline four engine and put almost 200,000 miles on it. No problem at all. I got ready to buy a van because I needed capacity for my daughter who keeps having grandchildren. So I've got four grandkids and a daughter and a son-in-law, and they didn't have anything more than a five passenger. So I went out and bought a Sienna van, had the same 2.7 inline four cylinder engine, I thought. And then when it came time for oil change, I crawled underneath it and I went, holy shit, they've got a canister oil filter. I had that on my 1963 TR3 Triumph sports car, and I've never had a canister oil filter on anything since. And so I didn't realize what a total cluster F those things are. And so anyhow, I had gotten close to 200,000 miles on my Sienna van. I unfortunately took it to one of those quick change oil change places. And most likely the clown grease monkey down in the pit had never seen one of those canisters before. So most likely he installed it incorrectly. And most likely 300 miles later, I had an oil failure that caused my engine to fail. And replacement engine was about $10,000. So bottom line is I got really screwed. But here's the problem. Purolator invented the canister oil filter in 1927. Wix, W-I-X, invented the spin-on oil filter in 1954. And today, Toyota is still installing those rotten canister filters on multiple cars, including Lexuses. Do not buy a Toyota with a canister oil filter. The real flimsy parts inside, multiple O-rings, if they're not properly put on, they'll end up causing you an oil failure problem. You have to buy a special Toyota-only wrench to be able to take the stupid thing off. Huh? It's an absolute 100% scam. They don't want you fixing your own cars or doing anything other than going to the damn dealer. And if you don't go to the damn dealer, you're going to go to somebody that has no freaking clue what they're doing, and they're going to screw up your car for you. So do not buy. Before I bought my new Toyota, I went online to check the filters. And sure enough, my new Toyota has a spin-on filter like almost everything else in the Toyota lineup does. But why they selected these particular vehicles for this ancient 100-year-old technology is beyond my imagination, other than they are just evil bean counters and they want to figure out how to make more money for their rotten dealers than they want to have a serviceable car for your deal for owners. I recommend that there be a class action lawsuit against those SOBs to break them of this ignorant habit. And as to my knowledge, they're the only company in the world that's manufacturing 100-year-old oil filter technology on their cars.
Yeah, they're not working for us, are they? Chris, opening statement, brother.
Yeah, that's a beauty. When a cabal runs all production of goods through supply side economics and central banking, the Keynesian central banking system, Rothschild can pretty much take over the value of labor, the means of production, the things that are produced through proxy subsidiaries and parallel infrastructures. And basically, by doing that, they can lower the bar in terms of expectations and certainly impose things like controlled obsolescence and things of the sort so that you cannot repair your own machinery. And then, so you will be forced every 10 years to buy a new disposable car from them. It sounds like the Tesla model, doesn't it? So, yeah, I think this is really all about shucking the human oyster and taking everything they can in terms of optimal yield from humanity. So good points, Joe, and very valid point there. And you know, it shouldn't come as a surprise or a shock the way that they've departmentalized, you know, not only the automotive industry but even people with nation states and national security and surveillance and all these things. I know it's a little bit of a deep dive and a tangent, but they are all correlated. This is all part of an agenda. This is all part of a plan. So yeah, these people really want you under lock and key, under thumb, and certainly to the grindstone. So naive, so.
All part of a plan.
And another cute trick, they deleted CD players in your car. So now you can't listen to the music that you want to listen to at the time you want to listen to it. But hey, that's okay. They also gave you Apple Play and autoplay. And then they give you a free subscription to Sirius X. And I got a call from Sirius saying, you want to renew? We give you a 3 month free subscription. And it's like, no, because you're one of those data collectors, just like Apple and just like Toyota. They want me to sign up for a Toyota maintenance app so they know everywhere I go, everywhere I stop, everywhere I, you know, all times of day, every location, so they can schedule my service intervals. You know, I know how to read an odometer. Every 5,000 miles, I'll show up and get my damn oil change. I don't need to have Toyota being my big brother and sharing all that mega data with the monsters that run the rest of the planet. It's absolutely insane. And we'll get into more about the monsters with the mega data when we get into the assassination, because Mr. Crooks is 100% state agent.
Very good. All right, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's say this, Carl, adding to Joe's point, in the age of information and asymmetrical surveillance, data is the new gold. And this is why there's such a war on fair value. They don't want the humans to really have any recourse or any sort of fair value or valuation of their labor and certainly of their currency. This is why they're pushing on the fractional reserve bullshit in the CBDC, where they will manage in tokenization too, where they will manage the control and the data of all assets and appropriate them as they see fit as a carrots and sticks model for any compliant or non-compliant citizens. So yeah, this is just a social control grab where the people that will be in custody of all the assets will be in no way held to the standard that they hold everyone else in their debt slavery system to. So I just wanted to add that to Joe's points there.
Thank you, Chris.
And amazingly enough, the grocery store where I shop has off and on had Bit terminals in the grocery store where you can go up with your Bitcoin information and exchange it for dollars. And they don't seem to stay there for more than 2 weeks. And I keep thinking I'll take my phone in, but there again, I don't like being tracked in the grocery store. But I'll take my phone in and take a picture of one of these things just because, I've never seen them anywhere else, and I've never seen them consistently at any of the grocery stores I go to. They're there for like a week or two, and then they disappear for a month or two, and then they suddenly pop back up. So, bottom line is they're trying to introduce us to that along with the other crap where you have to do the QR codes and scan everything. And it's just, you know, absolutely 100 slave conditioning. It's absolutely absurd that people put up with this shit.
The quantum financial system, Joe, that's it. That's the goal. That's the end game. That's technocratic feudalism that I always talk about. That's tokenization. That's CBDC. That's crypto. Think about crypto as being like the Fed 2.0, but done through Israeli private security firms and cryptocurrency firms. So yeah, this is like basically encryption-backed digital debt slavery.
Yep, it is slavery, and they're going to find all kinds of different ways to spin it. Quote from the, so this section is, how deeply are the sheeple mind controlled? And this is a quote from Brzezinski in 1972. Shortly, the public will be unable to reason or think for themselves. They'll only be able to parrot the information they've been given on the previous night's news. Now, my question to you, gentlemen, to start with my observation, is that without a breakthrough event, the sheeple are still captured. Anecdotal data, as I keep talking about the people that I'm in conversation with, it seems as if we're already there in terms of the withdrawal of support given one breakthrough event whereby it'll be the conversational change to the obvious criminality and the demand for arrest of at least one of the leaders. And this could be in any of the dozen areas. So it's poised, but we can't capitalize on it until we get some sort of a breakthrough event. Because I see in the last 4 years is that the gradual disgust of the American people over current events is it has had a difference, especially economically, where people are being pushed so hard and having to scramble. They know that it's bullshit and it won't take much in order to have them be assets on the side for truth. Joe, your thoughts on the mind control of the sheeple?
Oh, yeah. Well, last week we had Netanyahu speaking to the U.S. Congress, and close to 100 senators and representatives said they were not going to sit there and be clapping seals for a war criminal. So they didn't show up. But lo and behold, their AIPAC lobbyists showed up in their place to fill their seat to make it look like they had the full house. And they were the first ones to jump out and the loudest to clap. Because that's exactly what this is. It's absolutely 100% programming, staging to make you think that this is some wonderful world leader when he was eyeball deep in creating. And he warned us for years ahead of time about the World Trade Centers being destroyed. He warned us before the 1993 bombing. He warned us again before the 2001 bombing. He's the one that said we needed to take out seven foreign Arab countries in order to. And then over the weekend, we had the attack on the get the name exactly right, where the Druze are. It's oh yeah, Majdal Shams, which is an absolute sham. Yeah, they killed a dozen kids that were Syrian kids. They're not Jewish kids. They're not Israeli speakers. They're Arabic speakers. They were killed by an Israeli missile, and immediately Netanyahu says, now we have to go to war with Iran. They're our enemy, but they're mainly your enemy. You need to go after Iran. Yeah, this son of a bitch is determined to create World War III because apparently he's going to end up with 2,000 slaves just like every other one of these Jewish monsters has been promised. It's absolutely terrible that we are treated by like goyim by these people that are self-appointed, chosen by their own self created God. Absolutely 100% disgusting, and mankind needs to wake up from this.
And Netanyahu just happened to say, you know, Iran just might assassinate Trump, and then you should go to war. We'll see what about that. Chris, your comments.
Yeah, by deception they shall make war. It's almost like they shall confound the tongues and make war. These people have been behind much of this stuff, playing both sides against the middle in such a way, instigating terror acts. 9/11 is a perfect example of that, and how they played that and spun it into the Zionist Crusades, which would have had no support whatsoever without that entire media blitz of propaganda, right? So trauma-based mind control is very much part of this, and it takes that sort of trauma for that to become possible, to get people into a limbic state where their fear can be manipulated by the reaction or the intended plan of action all along. And if you notice, the Wesley Clark memo is being strangely fulfilled. That was put out right around the same time. If you notice, they put out BRICS and the BRICS initiative around the same time through Goldman Sachs. And the de-dollarization, that's coming to fruition. All of these things had to happen. It had to demoralize the citizens in faith of their country, in the leadership of the military, and certainly in the cause of justice and righteousness that we proclaimed. They had to discredit that. It is very Bezmenov-like, the strategy that has been put on America. I think this is not a new gambit. This is something they've done. This cabal has ridden every historic empire like a dragon through time. And I'll tell you, they've been absolved of any sort of accountability or complicity in this. And they've just hung out the empire for the misdeeds while taking the public wealth and the good thing, the resources. Wait, by controlling things like the merchants do, the temple priests and the scribes, they revert people back to this controlled opposition dialogue, which they control all the way. So you're going to see people starting to unite under a Jewish control of Christianity or any of their offshoots. You're going to see this. Are created by this Masonic occultic group that believes in the Kabbalah and satanic thing that people like to refer to. But at the same point in time, their limbic binary in the mind control is to revert back to another control mechanism that is gaining control over these guys. Steering you into one frying pan or out of the frying pan into another type of thing, I guess would be the way of putting it. to use the cliche. And I think that people don't really consider this or haven't really done the research to make an intelligent decision for the ones that they're making in these reactions and overreactions to the trauma that's brought forth. It's an Hegelian dialect, really. It's problem, reaction, solution all day. And we've been calling it out for a while. You can point it out to people, and they still sometimes refuse to see it or to even comprehend it when they do see it. So it's important to really put this out there and to identify it in real time. And Joe, you're right about the shadow banning and all the censoring of the way with shit like COVID and what they're doing now and even what they did after 9/11. So yeah, we have to get out there and we have to bring it to the streets, and everybody has to know exactly what's going on. And it can't be us relying on DARPA tech to deliver it to them, because we know that it can't be trusted.
Thank you, Chris.
Richard Medhurst, Medhurst on YouTube, had a great 3-minute rebuttal. I'll call it Nutty Yahoo Speech Deconstructed, but I'll put the link to that down in the comment notes. If it's still available, I'll check it when we put it up on BitChute today. But bottom line is, man, he tears him a new asshole. And I had an interesting thing in one of the comment sections. This is kind of a little anecdote that it covers a similar theme to a lot of other little anecdotes, but the forest is shrinking, but the trees continue to vote for the axe because the axe has a wooden handle, and that means it's one of us, you know. So kind of a play on some of the similar themes that have been done about sheep and ranchers and wolves, you know, because bottom line is that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with these deceptive people that do not have our best interests at heart at all.
Yep. Yep. I might have to go back and rewatch the movie The Island, because that was an island of cloned replacement parts ready for rich people to cull and to use for their advantage. And the people on the island, they don't know that they're the clones of these rich people. They've been told a story and they live out their lives. And then if they have to be sacrificed, if their liver needs to be used or whatever, they're told a story that they won the lottery. So they're all excited to leave the island. Eventually, the truth does come out. All right, let's go to the war. Got two of those stories. Golan attack. So this guy, Majal Shams, Israel carries out false flag op to justify Lebanese genocide. And we've been talking about that, and Joe gave us an overview for it. Do not trust anything Israel says. World's apartheid state takes gold in the massacring innocent civilians event and shatters the world record at playing the innocent victim. Well, yes. So that is an ongoing event of the false flag started war of aggression. And there's another part in here, too, that I liked is, oh, yeah. The Israeli swimming team formed a bring them home message with their bodies during practice, because what is the Olympics for if not war propaganda? Obviously, the Olympics is non-political and you can't hold athletes accountable, not even the Israeli footballers who are legally required to serve in the Israeli military. Banning soldiers who participate in genocide just wouldn't be fair, and suggesting otherwise shows reckless disregard for human life. And the idea of during the Olympics, they're supposed to not have war, and you're disappointedly, Israel's participation in the Olympics had been called into question by do-gooders who pointed out South Africa was banned from the Olympics from 62 to 90 for being an apartheid state. But thankfully, the IOC has recognized that Palestinians rank lower on the racial hierarchy than even black South Africans. Oh, your comments.
Yeah, amazing. When Russia was hosting the Summer Olympics, and then again when they were hosting the Winter Olympics, the United States boycotted them because Russia is evil. And now Russia's boycotted from the Olympics in Paris, but Israelis are there. As a matter of fact, Israelis would have home pages showing them massacring little kids, and they're absolute 100% provable by their own videos that they're war criminals, and yet they're competing for gold prizes. Over the weekend, they started this stupid Olympics thing. I wouldn't waste a moment of my time watching it. But the reports that I've read about the Smurf opening, the Olympic Committee was just absolutely vilifying Christianity and and mocking Christians completely. And it was absolutely disgusting, along with every other and promoting every other form of degradation. And they said they did it because they're trying to raise awareness of diversity. And so they got blowback. And now the sponsors are pulling out sponsorships. The viewership has dropped to zero. They had sabotage attacks against their rail line, so people can't get there. They knocked out most of the power for Paris over the weekend. So that made it where you couldn't watch it if you wanted to. You couldn't get there if you wanted to. You couldn't see it if you got there. You know, so bottom line is, yeah, the whole thing is falling apart. And turns out that the Smurf characters that they were using, this was developed by a Belgian cartoonist in 1958. His name is, he goes by the pen name of Peyo, P-E-Y-O. And apparently his stuff is still copyrighted. And the Olympics has apparently paid for the copyright. And now the Olympics has scrubbed everything and told every media station, if you don't pull down our opening ceremonies, then we will file criminal charges against you for copyright infringement. So they've taken down their own material, and then they're going and telling other people. But this just brings back the ignorant London Olympics in July 27th, 2012, where they had the whole stadium was full of hospital beds and kids, and they had these giant ghosts coming up, and they had giant syringes jumping around. They were pre-conditioning us for the pending lockdown that they did 8 years later. Absolutely disgusting that these people rule our planet.
Thank you, Joe. Chris?
Yeah, they tried to do the same thing in Europe, in the EU in 2009 with the H1N1, but it certainly was not as rolled out the same way that COVID was. And they understood with COVID, they had to roll it out. This is a military operation, guys. This is not just the media doing this. The media and the military are working together. So you got to understand that it's, you know, Big Pharma, Wall Street, the bankers, everybody. So this was a rollout. This was a plan. This is organized money trying to depopulate us. And people really don't want to consider it for what it truly was. They look at it as a hustle foul or an accident or, something like that. And like I say, they ascribe their own innocence to the guilty nature of this agenda, which has been announced since the 80s or 90s to people that have been paying attention. And this is the thing. They put it right out there so that people do have fair warning. And for some reason, I don't know, the cowards just adopt this delusion or this cognitive dissonance, and they can't even look the truth in the face. I mean, they could trip over this thing and pretend it never existed, get up and run away like they never saw. You know, like Hoover said that, Wilson said that. I mean, a lot of people, you know, have acknowledged this very thing in the human condition in reaction to this overwhelming Leviathan. So in my opinion, I think really the first step is having the courage to call a spade and see it for what it is. And from there react accordingly. You know, another thing is they put that fear into us, too, as far as exercising our First Amendment right in free speech, not only with censorship, with lawsuits, with things like Alex Jones's case or whatever they got going on with that, the things with Trump. This is to make what is understood not need to be discussed in terms of the legal system and the punishment that it can deliver on anybody that bucks the system, so to speak. So, and I also think it's very much necessary for the Kabuki Theater. The fair really does deliver that final touch because it is absolutely the intentional, systematic frustration of justice. And it is intended to have that same effect. it delivers a helplessness and it conditions a radicalization. So people understand that. And for some reason, they're trying to provoke that. Not only with Christianity, look at how many people are going to start gathering into the Christian, union now. I mean, this is, I think, the goal is they got to deliver people into the Christian side and then into the Muslim side. So the Jews can just step back and try to get those two to kill each other off.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, the sheeple are paying attention, but it is going to require a breakthrough event for them to be able to recognize that they're targeted, that they are, that this is World War III, AMRF II, and that our opponents want them dead. They don't get that part yet. It's kind of important in a war to understand that. All right, let us go to the Olympics. Oops, not there. Macron booed by tens of thousands. Let's play.
Dieu! Tu t'es fait dégommer. Mais comme ils t'ont dégommé. Mais comme ils t'ont humilié. Oh mon Dieu, oh mon Dieu, oh mon Dieu. Oh là 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 là. This is for Niger. This is for Africa. This is for all the countries that France has shat on. Macron wants to behave like Charles de Gaulle. He thinks he's, you know, colonial hot shit.
Well said. Oh, we got Chris back. There he is. And the second part. Paris Olympics opening ceremony predictably seeks to out Satan. Previous Satanist productions. And may have succeeded. Now, with this, I'll just kind of give a overview. They first had a woman depicted with decapitated head singing, and that was after the white horseman came down. They had obese women and drag queens recreate the painting Jesus is Last Summer, and now they have a man dressed in all blue hysterically performing for the masses. And that guy in all blue, like, I didn't look at myself, but I did read that the guy had his nutsacks hanging out on a fruit plate. And I think that the debauchery, the in your face, is just offering choice about what will you pay for? What will you pledge to? Where do you stand? Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, that first clip was, that is Richard Medhurst. And he is Syrian. He speaks Arabic, French, and English. So he's really an intelligent guy. And he's really articulate. And he does a really good job of putting his videos together. The one that I mentioned is only 3 minutes long, where he's doing the rebuttal to Nutty Yahoo in the U.S. Congress. But like he said, we have this as an epitaph for the future of humanity, to be able to look back at how totally demonic and in your face these people really are. And that's exactly what happened in the Olympics. And the fact that you can't even go to the Olympic site and see the Olympic openings. And then they made a phony baloney apology about, we were trying to show how wonderful diversity is. And if we offended you, we're sorry that you're offended by diversity. Well, then that means you're not sorry at all. It's like, we're the ones that are sorry. We're sorry because we don't let you lead us around by the nose and make us do every perverted thing that's in your stupid little Talmud book of degeneracy. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Chris?
Like I said in my last thing, I don't know if I cut off there or not, but I was talking about this being an inquisition tactic, where they gaslight the victims and they publicly shame people. And they basically put people in such a fear of speaking the truth that they really embrace their own self-doubt and their own fear of shame-based social engineering and censor themselves. They did the same thing with COVID. They did the same thing with election fraud. They do the same thing with religion and politics and everything else they can, war as well. So, really, if you follow the money, these are all bankers' wars, and these are all economic resets and new rollouts of economic systems that are behind every one of these major global conflicts that seem to come every 50 years. And ultimately, they all stem from overwhelming usurious debts. So whether it's the Venetian or Genovese bond market that causes it, or whether it's Wall Street or London doing what they're doing with derivatives and Lord knows what, ultimately, at the end of the day, this is what happens to the common man. And this is how they take the pound of flesh, is from the common man. They take our assets and our blood and treasure, and that's how they pay for their excess and their basically their rampant collusion. These guys are all using this money that they're stealing from us to try to get off.
Crit. No audio.
About in 1933, how the central bankers wanted to dissociate away from the gold standard in many of the Asian companies that they plan on economically colonializing in the next century or two, what we're seeing now, more importantly. What they had to do was break them off silver and gold as their primary backed currencies and put them on this, basically the it allowed a certain few that had done it to get extremely wealthy. And mostly what it did was allow most of the American wealth to be plundered and relocated over in China, starting in the late 90s, where they actually started building these empires in conjunction with these trade deals to basically outsource American labor, even in defense contracts, which to me seems a breach of national security. Strangely enough, these countries that we subbed all this stuff up to now are supposedly our adversaries, and they are supposedly ahead of us in much of the military technology that proclaimed to have been the dominant force in. So I think that really we're seeing the systematic effects, the compound interest from dual Israeli citizens and Zionists and their espionage in these endeavors. And then, of course, in creating these other opponents in terms of Russia, China, and many of these other countries that they've subverted over the last century or two. You're seeing the East India Company still at work. It's just operating under a different name, and people don't understand this for what it is. And until they do, they won't even be able to discern who their real enemies are.
Thank you, Chris. Joe?
I got an interesting biography on John D. Rockefeller. It's about almost an hour long, like 50 minutes long, and it goes through quite a bit about his Standard Oil, but it doesn't go into the other little nefarious aspects of this rotten son of a bitch. He actually stole the patents from Antonio Meucci, M-E-U-C-C-I, who sent patents to the U.S. Patent Office in 1963 for telephone. But during the Civil War, there wasn't enough spare telegraph wire. There wasn't enough electrical generation. And you couldn't make a telephone be financially responsible. So then in 1876, Rockefeller recruited Alexander Graham Bell to go over and be an assistant for Meucci for several months until he figured out exactly how all this stuff worked. And Alexander Graham Bell stole those patents, and they created the American Telegraph and Telephone Company, which was AT&T, which is the largest communications monopoly for a century. And it was virtually 100% owned by Rockefeller. Then he got managed to steal patents from Tesla for the radio and gave them to Marconi so they could set up the RCA Corporation and run another monopoly on manufacturing radios and the radio transmission equipment and then the broadcasting industry. And then he also managed to pump and dump George Westinghouse and Thomas Edison and steal their patents and make them captive slaves underneath them. So he had absolutely owned absolutely everything. But when they finally got around to busting him, under Teddy Roosevelt's term for antitrust, they split the Standard Oil Company into 34 companies. And within 6 months, the value of those 34 companies doubled the value of Standard Oil before they were split up, mirroring the same thing that happened with the monopolies with AT&T. When they were broken up, they created the Seven Bells, which was Bell Labs and six different Bell phone companies. And within 6 months, they had doubled the value of the total Bell franchise by, quote, anti-trusting them. Absolutely disgusting that this government thinks they're helping us by breaking up big business in order to make big business double in size in 6 months. What an absolute 100% sham this whole entire government is.
It's almost as if they do the exact opposite of what they say. It's almost like that. Joe, if my audio cuts out again, please just speak up right away. I don't look at the chat because I want to try to keep the mic if I can. Chris, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, most of these companies that Joe's mentioning were started up as fronts, and they were more or less for military coups in many of the resource-rich countries, like in Operation Condor under Kissinger's direction in the 60s and 70s. There's some real dirty shit that's going on with this. But it goes back further. Rockefeller got his fortune as a frontman for the Crown and the Peers. And I will say this Freemasonic order has basically colonialized the world under all these departmentalized illusions, we just say. And this is what I'm really trying to highlight, is how they develop this breakaway wealth by using this formula. And it's apparently, it's obvious to me, but I'm just trying to explain to people that maybe don't have as much information on this. And where I'm getting to this is, if you look at how Rockefeller did this with the oil industry, with the railroad industry and the other proxies, and then of course with mining, he did this, like I said, if you read Ralph Epperson's book about Jesse James and when he was supposedly killed, and he says that he became Senator Clark, who was one of the big proxies for this group in terms of mining development in the native areas, most in the western part of the country. So yeah, these guys really ran the systematic colonialization of America, the annexation of lands from Americans, and then they're going to foist the political and the historic capital punishment even onto the citizens, and certainly extract our wealth and leave us holding the bag, not only for the debt, but for the misdeeds that they've done, from hijacking our government and many of the private sector forces, more importantly, in our country and foreignly. That's all I got. An alarm's coming on, or your fire truck passing.
Thank you, Chris. Into the show notes of BitChute, I'm going to put what Joe was referencing via an artistic representation, epic rap battles of history. I'll put Edison versus Tesla for some artistic truth bombs. Anything else, Chris or Joe?
Yeah, it turns out when Rockefeller died and when J.P. Morgan died, their wills said that 85% of their assets were owned by the Rothschilds. So they were nothing but front companies the whole time that they were ripping us off.
Exactly. Exactly. Joe knows it, man. That's awesome. Yep. So, yeah, this is what we're seeing. You know, these guys are like a spit shield at the salad bar, really, these proxies.
Very good. All right, next. Trump optics. Ooh, no, that's Biden optics. Massive overflow crowd for Trump Vance rally in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And the optics for the sheeple is that they are just going to the right and rejecting the left. I don't know what that means, but that's what we got. All right, I'm going to play this little clip here. And Trump is playing golf with the current champion of the U.S. Golf Open. Now, they wanted to break 50 in a combined score, and this champ, Bryson DeChambeau, hadn't done it even with the pros. Now, with Trump, 18 holes, trying to break 50, they didn't. They got 50, which is the high scores so far. And in no small part, Trump contributed hitting it straight, putting good. I watched all 18. DeChambeau would go for the drives, and here's a Trump solo eagle.
110? 210. It's a little into the wind, maybe. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get up there. Get up. Yes. Yes. Way to go. Do I even have to hit?
Trump's drive, as you'll see, is about 4 feet from the pin.
Be good. Wow. Okay. I'll take that all day. You've hit it inside me a couple times today, actually.
This could be, but
I think you might.
Those are two good ones. It was more at the pin, but
I think you might be closer. Can you believe that?
Who's closer?
Who's inside who?
I think the president hit it inside me. This is one of the greatest shots I've seen in a long time. Drove it to 4 feet. That's unbelievable. There you go. Nice. He just walks off like a boss. That's the first eagle that I didn't contribute to whatsoever.
How far is that?
210? 210.
Now, those are some optics, and the American people around the world will eat that up. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, amazingly enough, I like to see people in person, and I've always admired Ron Paul. And so he had an event here in Houston with the Mises, M-I-S. ES, the Austrian banking economics group. Yeah, economics group. And there was 800 people in the auditorium. And this was in 2012 when Ron Paul was running for president. And there was no Secret Service presence at all. There was not a metal detector, no wanding, no pat downs, no nothing. Not a single guy with sunglasses and a black suit and black tie. And I ended up sitting at one of the guys that was leader of the group here in Houston. I ended up sitting at one of the front tables. I was less than 20 feet away from Ron Paul. He got up and started speaking. And within the first 15, 20 minutes, it was obvious that this is one of the very few honest politicians I've ever seen or heard in my whole entire life. I got to shake his hand. He's a wonderful man. Anyhow, he goes on, does an hour and a half long presentation with nothing more than a couple of sips of water, not an index card or anything else. Here's a guy that delivered 5,000 babies, was a MASH unit war surgeon for the U.S. Army, been elected like 18 different times from Texas, and they keep redistricting out of his district until he finally just gave up and said, we can't beat this guy. But he was denied the Republican convention access. He wasn't even allowed access to it, but he was also denied Secret Service. So when you tell me that they won't provide service for RFK after his uncle and his father were both killed by CIA assassins, then I got a real problem with them saying that they're not going to provide service. And what happened in Butler was 100% staged event. There's a guy that has a Substack, George Webb, and he just put out a different broadcast. He does one almost every day. They're really well documented, but I can't follow the whole thing because I'm not a subscribed member, which I probably should be. But today's is called Antifa Blood Trail to Butler. And he traces the multiple different shooting ranges that are within range of this kid's house and all the megadata, which is what they used to do the movie 2000 Mules, where they had over 50,000 mules going to stash houses in every state in the United States, picking up drop ballots and going and dropping them off so that they could steal the election in 2020. So that's exactly what these son of a bitches are going to try to do one way or the other. But the amazing thing is they had an election down in Venezuela this weekend and Maduro won. And the very first thing is Blinken goes, we don't trust their elections. These people are running crooked elections. Like you don't, you rotten SOB. We know you stole it in 2020. You know that Hillary stole the primary from Bernie in 2016, and she stole the primary again in 2020 and was planning on stealing it from Trump. You people are rotten to the core, and you don't even have the decency to realize what giant hypocrites you are, because we can all see what giant hypocrites you are.
Thank you, Joe. Chris?
Oh, they know exactly what kind of giant hypocrites they are. They just have the rumor and echo to basically they lie and it swears to it. So, this is really what they're doing with gaslighting and propaganda and public relations and perception management. It's almost like a form of hypnosis, in my opinion. And people really start to believe it, even if it's not true. They identify the repetition as, you know, a way to discuss a topic or things of that nature, or to accept the narrative of a circumstance. So I'm just saying this is almost like a war of attrition through time, where they just erode at the truth with this repetition, and that becomes the official narrative known as history.
And the breakthrough event will have the bonus of exposing corporate media, because they're going to do what they always do. They're going to pretend it never happened. But until we do get that breakthrough event, they're going to keep giving the propaganda and the mind control, and we're going to be talking to ourselves.
Like, what do you do with a sociopath? You know, they obviously proven that they are complete and total fucking psychos, right? I mean, look at our track record and theirs, and look at what, you know, we're saying and what they're saying, and see the tale of two cities, because this is truly two tiers of justice. This is two tiers of wealth and standards of living, two tiers of fair value. So I'm saying this has been a war against humanity by this group, using these departmentalizations, whether they're religion or politics or nation states. These guys have always been at the, I mean, look at World War II and World War I. They ran all sides of that shit too. And it's their banker wars, and just every war is. So yeah, we see what's going on. Now we got to figure out how we're going to do something about it, because these guys have obviously infiltrated and pervaded every form of recourse that we could possibly find that should come to our defense here.
Very good. Very good. I was going to show a clip of President Biden, the masked actor, apparently growing. We lost Chris again. But I have been since kicked out of my Twitter account. And here we go. We got Chris again. All right. Let me put him back on speakerphone. And let me try to find this because I wanted to get your guys' take on this. Of I'll just show it to you rather than having to explain it. And it was just in a day or so. We lost Chris again. Does dementia make you grow? Here we go.
Hey, I'll see you on
All right, so Jimmy Dore plays this clip after Biden reemerges and
really briskly. And is it me or is he 6 inches taller than he normally is?
He is about 6 inches taller than he normally is. And they go through the clip and then go through some history. Brian and I looked at this yesterday. And the real Biden is supposed to be shorter than Netanyahu. But yeah, there we go. And Brian's question was, why did they bring out the B team? And that is a good question about why they would bring out the B team with it. And my response is that it seems like their usual sharpness is absent. And makes you wonder who's writing the scripts for the show. Joe, your thoughts on this? So what do you think about that taller actor playing Biden?
Well, he might be the C team. I think the B team is a closer match. The A team's down somewhere in an IV drip trying to keep himself breathing for a little while. The B team was probably scheduled for some other event this weekend, so they brought in the 6.5 foot tall C team. But bottom line is, yeah, you can't trust anything these son of a bitches does because it's all 100% perception. And what they want you to do is to believe the hypnotic cast that they've put over you your whole entire life. And we'll get to that in my closing comments about the presidents of the United States. Interesting little documentary that came out today on that.
Yeah, we lost Chris. But I want to say is that film clip alone is prima facie evidence that we have an actor playing Biden and demand arrest. And I want to be clear that my personal commitment is to withdraw consent and demand arrest of the leadership to throw them out. Now, after Brian and my show, some of the people in the comments thought that somehow isn't sufficient and that I'm playing for the wrong team. I'll have more to say on the comments. But I want to say is that in this war, our opponents will attempt to divide to conquer. Where we are united is in pointing to the fuckery, the lies, the crimes, and demanding justice. Now, if you can't stand there with us, I think that you're on the wrong team. All righty. Well, absent Chris, we'll just go on to the next section. And we have Harris Optics. We have 5 of those. YouGov poll, 92% say Harris complicit in Biden health cover-up. That is awful. That is going to be hard to recover from when it's almost the beginning of August and the election is the beginning of November. Identity politics backfire. Woman supporting Kamala Harris because she is a black woman gets schooled with brutal reality check. Now, I like take a look at the people on this call. And the question was, is that, what about Harris? And during the episode, this person says, I'm going to just be real honest with this. She's a black woman. And you can see the disappointment in the room. The admission had the guy who was kind of running the meeting challenged her saying, is it only because she's a black woman? And then we laid down these facts by this guy, Anton Daniels, which I would recommend a future possibility in politics because he says this so concisely and precisely. Okay, so we're in 3 proxy wars with some of the most powerful leaders in the world. She failed at the border where we have an estimation of 15 to 20 million people illegally entering this country. That is literally overtaking and bankrupting Chicago to the tune of over 400 million per year, and they are in a deficit. Oakland is going out of business. San Francisco ditto. California, $65 billion deficit. New York, they're literally cutting trash collection, making them the rattiest, dirtiest city, and they're using resources for free healthcare and free hotels to the tune of $600 a day. They're literally taking over your schools, and your taxes are going to fund a migrant crisis. She was supposed to be in charge of this. We have a failing economy. Every single day, I see people on the internet talking about $30 an hour being the minimum wage because inflation is out of control. At one point, it was almost 10%, depending on the city. She has no policy, no record to stand on. And that's brutal. And she has more in here, or he has more in there. But those were the optics that we're looking at. Influential House Democrat breaks ranks, says he is absolutely not committed to Kamala Harris. And this is Representative Jared Golden of Maine. He is the co-chair of the Blue Dog Coalition. This is amazing. Elon Musk retweets epic Kamala Harris achievement ad, quickly racks up 55 million views. And I'll play a little bit. This is about 2.5 minutes, or 2 minutes. I'll play it a little bit, at least.
Harris and your Democrat candidate for president because Joe Biden finally exposed his senility at the debate. Thanks, Joe. I was selected because I am the ultimate diversity hire. I'm both a woman and a person of color. So if you criticize anything I say, you're both sexist and racist. I may not know the first thing about running the country, but remember, that's a good thing if you're a deep state puppet. I had 4 years under the tutelage of the ultimate deep state puppet, a wonderful mentor, Joe Biden. Joe taught me rule number one, carefully hide your total incompetence. I take insignificant things and I discuss them as if they're significant. And I believe that exploring the significance of the insignificant is in itself significant.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time, and there is such great significance to the passage of time.
Another trick is trying to sound black. I pretend to celebrate Kwanzaa, and in my speeches, I always do my best Barack Obama impression.
So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's tight.
And okay, look, maybe my work addressing the root causes of the border crisis were catastrophic, but my knowledge of international politics is truly shocking.
The United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea. It is an alliance that is strong and enduring.
And just remember, when voting this November, it is important to see what can be unburdened by what has been. And by what has been, I mean Joe Biden. You think the country went to sh- over the past 4 years? You ain't seen nothing yet.
Gillette. It's brutal. Brutal optics. But it gets worse. Oh, I can't play you this. This was corporate media on... Ooh, am I going to get it? Nope, I'm not going to get it. Maybe if I go the other way. Nope, not going to get it. But that is a brutal ad as well, or it's a compilation of corporate media themselves roasting Harris. And that will be, that link will be in BitChute. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, there's no way they can hide this woman in the basement and be able to generate enough fake votes. And the thing is, they're going to have to reprint all the ones that say Biden Harris now, because she's obviously not there, and they can't print them until she picks a VP. And once she picks a VP, then we'll have even more reasons to laugh at her, because everybody knows that she's going to lose by a landslide, and they don't want to have their future political careers ruined by being tied to this millstone. So bottom line is, we're in for a really humorous coming up couple of months. But you know, the sad thing is that political humor is our reality, and it's disgusting.
And I kind of like your attitude there, Joe. I think that we do have to have a sense of humor. I think we have to have realism regarding the fog of war, and not have so much certainty that we're confident of what we're looking at. Because even if the what we currently have, if that projection moves forward, everything our opponent is doing is making them look worse. And then if nothing changes, no breakthrough, they try to steal the election and they say 101 million votes for Harris or something like that, the playing field will be different. and we'll be able to respond then. So the Patriots continue to look for opportunities because something will break and it will come because the optics are all on the side of truth, justice, and the American way of limited government, defending inalienable rights despite inversion of that. All right, COVID updates. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those. U.S. government cartel paid CVS Walgreens billions to reject ivermectin prescriptions, push the COVID shots. And this was an area of research I wasn't aware of, but it makes total sense that you would have to pay the big corporate pharmaceutical distributors in order to have that be on board. And that does make sense with the response of a lot of the pharmacists refusing to fill prescriptions for ivermectin. Vaccines caused 17 million deaths during the pandemic, plus four more takeaways from the largest excess mortality study to date. This is a good comprehensive argument. We have talked about that data. And if you do want to be able to show what the effects were, this is the best scientific response so far. This was the study over 17 countries, and that is what we got right now, 17 million excess deaths. Merrill Nass, two quite useful data collections, 250 studies on COVID vaccine injuries and a collection on the childhood vaccines. And we did cover this yesterday, but Nass gives another view of it. And that would be is that all of the approved, well, it says right here, none of the vaccine doses the CDC recommends for routine infection in children were licensed by the FDA based on a long-term placebo-controlled trial. So they have violated their own rules of conduct for science. And therefore, actually, all of these should be removed immediately as potentially harmful. Clinical trials of childhood vaccines, no placebo-controlled long-term trials. And then the second smartest guy in the world gives a take on that, and especially with physicians giving input. And a million views in 20 hours, just pay attention to this. CDC's count. So there have been 14 mild human cases in the U.S. of bird flu, according to the CDC, it's as much as we can trust them. And Kennedy, RFK2, is issuing the warning here. So we'll see how that plays out. And that's another area of potential breakthrough as well if they try to push this. And only the CDC is allowed to test and diagnose people with bird flu, but its test is faulty. It only tested 45 people, yet commercial lab tests are verboten. So this is going to be as sketchy as COVID, as illegal, as crimes against humanity, and I'll put in the show notes at BitChute the comprehensive article that I have, which is sufficient to explain, document, and prove that these are crimes against humanity. Nobody should support anything that these liars, these psychopaths say or do. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, early on in the COVID pandemic, I walked into a pharmacy, and I try to avoid those places 100%, but there was a young girl sitting at a card table with a box of syringes in front of her, and she goes, you want a free COVID vaccine? And I said, well, I don't know. Are you an RN? And she goes, no. I said, are you an LVN? And she goes, no. I said, have you had any training in doing injections? She goes, yeah, we had a couple of days training on how to do that. And she goes, I can do it. I've already done several hundred. And it's like, well, guess what? If you do not do vaccine injections in a intramuscular fashion, you can actually hit a mainline and you can send a fatal dose of the vaccine directly to somebody's heart, and most likely the people that were killed within hours of taking their jabs were in jab by somebody that never had any medical training at all, and they provided, the FDA provided waivers, and CDC said you don't have to be a trained medical professional to do injections. And then they also proved that even if you did do an intramuscular injection, it doesn't stay at the injection site, the mRNA, and rapidly diffuses throughout your whole entire body. So if you don't get a giant slug of shit killing you instantly, you'll get a slug of shit that's going to end up killing you slowly. And that's exactly what we had. 50,000 deaths that are excuse me, 50 million deaths that are beyond the normal life expectancy deaths. Absolutely insane that we have allowed this medical mafia to be part of our functional system of government.
Yep. This is a whole list of issues that could be sufficient for the breakthrough. Finally, another area, another so-called wildfire in Jasper, Canada. Play a little bit of this.
Okay, this is tough with the gas. We may need 102. So once I know, I'll let you know. Okay, thank you, Blake. What about the Nodwell berm? The Nodwell goes out to the Petrocan and just waits there.
Alright, I'm on my way.
Yeah, there's another water truck parked there, I think.
There's Mom and Dad's house.
I'm stepping away from the radio for about 5 minutes.
And again, I'll go ahead and put it in the show notes at BitChute, the article I had previously on the fires in Paradise and Maui for the Maui massacre and the Paradise Inferno, that retired fire captains have testified that what you just saw is not the effect of any known fire they have ever studied. In the study of fires for fire professionals, those results are not physically possible. And the documentation in California had the video of two fire captains just walking through the grounds, taking video and chatting and saying that, okay, the amount of energy required to transform what used to be a house into just the cement is more than available from a fire. Fires don't produce that damage. You have to add a lot more energy to it, and therefore these are energy weapons, and they're directed here onto the structures, and they often miss things like, you know, things that burn and plastic things. So this is another area of that we're under attack. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll see if I can find my exact information. Steel melts at 2,750 degrees Fahrenheit, that vaporizes at 5,180 degrees Fahrenheit. Concrete melts at 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit, and then it vaporizes depending on the various components, which are silicon dioxide and carbon. So bottom line, calcium carbonate and silicon dioxide, which are the two principal components of concrete. So those have separate different boiling and temperatures. But bottom line is, I got another stupid incoming call. Bottom line is, you didn't melt granite countertops and you didn't melt steel appliances with a house fire. And so bottom line is, we're being 100% lied to about absolutely everything. The world is a war zone, and the people that run our world economically are at war with everybody else on the planet.
Very good. We'll go into final thoughts. Given that it is a war, anybody who's interested in winning the war should be looking for allies. And the allies are going to be anybody who can stand in at least one area of truth with us. And I would say that the preferred position, or the preferred beginning conclusion, is to say, hey, these look like crimes from our leaders. Withdraw consent. And then at least with what you have to say to yourself is to demand their arrests. At least to yourself. That's not asking for much, because the facts are comprehensive and that nobody should be voting for this. Nobody should be supporting this. Joe, final thoughts, brother.
Yes, as I mentioned previously, a great history lecture today at Mises Institute. And this is a guy, a historian named Thomas J. DiLorenzo, D-I-L-O-R-E-N-Z-O. The title of his thing, and it's on YouTube, is called Axis of Evil, America's Three Worst Presidents. And I said, you know, really what you should do is America's top 40 worst presidents, because there isn't hardly a half dozen of them that are worth a shit. Every one of them has been rotten if you actually look at their record. But bottom line is he goes into Lincoln, Wilson, and FDR. And as far as Lincoln, he mentions that the actual statistics, they keep telling us 600,000 people died in the Civil War. He said those are based just on the casualty figures that were given by both sides' militaries, and those were collated at the end of the war, and nobody went back and revisited them until recently. Historians started going through local newspapers and current other records, family records, and the actual estimate is probably as high as 850,000 were killed in the Civil War. So you had this absolute bloodbath monster that they portray as a wonderful guy. Bear in mind that the Civil War was 22 northern states with 20 million people declaring war on 11 southern states with 10 million people. So there's your basic definition of democracy, two wolves and a sheep voting for what's for dinner. 17 northern states had already banned slavery, going back to Pennsylvania in 1780. So before we even created a nation, multiple states had already banned slavery in their states. And so it wasn't at all about slavery. There was slavery in five northern states, including Kansas, Missouri, Kentucky, Maryland, and Delaware, and the District of Columbia. And no U.S. senator gave up his slaves, and none of the five slave states did Lincoln free a single slave. So that whole thing is just absolutely garbage. But then he goes into Wilson, and he made one factual error on Wilson. He said Wilson was in office less than 3 months after he was elected to keep us out of war when he declared war on Germany in World War One. But actually, they did a constitutional amendment to change the date of inauguration from the end of March until the 20th of January. And so that was still under the effect of the original constitutional mandate. So he was actually sworn into office on March 5th, 1917. And on April 6th, he declared war on Germany. So less than a month after he was inaugurated on his second term, this rotten son of a bitch sent 110,000 men to their deaths. And just like I mentioned in last week's program, we were only involved in that war for 110 days. So that's 1,000 men every day that were snuffed by this rotten bastard that also delivered the Federal Reserve, the income tax, the Espionage Act. Remind me, what are some of the other rotten things that he did?
I think you got the major hits there.
The major ones, yeah. If you got those three, you got enough to hate the guy forever. And then FDR, Jesus Christ, man. I went off on FDR several times with Fetzer, and I've got video links to that. But what a rotten son of a bitch FDR was. Anyhow, that's where we are, kids. You've been lied to about absolutely everything.
Yep. All right, Patriots, thank you for your attention. Thank you for your intellectual integrity and moral courage. We'll be back on Wednesday with more of the news that you need to know.